Greetings, this is James Gillen, broadcasting live deep underground from a remote location somewhere near the mystical Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington. We've got a great show tonight, and it's good to be back in my studio again. We had some few little problems here. We took care of just the minor water problems. But that's all taken care of. All the equipment is up and running, and this is our virgin voyage, you might say, from our new facility again. It's all remodeled and ready to go. But anyway, I've got a great guest tonight. I've got Shelly Yates with Fire the Grid, and you can check out her website at firethegrid.com. And we've got her live right now, so we're going to see if we can bring her on the air. Shelly, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
Hey, great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for coming out of your cave. I know you're recuperating from the last Fire the Grid episode.
And, yes, I don't think I've done a radio interview in, at least 2 years. So you're my maiden voyage, too.
No, I'm honored, you know, for having you come on the show. So for the people that haven't heard about, I don't see how they couldn't have heard about Fire the Grid, but for the people that haven't heard about Fire the Grid, let's go back to the beginning, just a short rundown on how you were given this, might say, monumental task to undergo and how that all came about.
Well, I guess to make a really long story short, in 2002, I drove in a lake with my 4-year-old son, and my car sank to the bottom of the lake. And I was feeling pretty sure I can get out of this car. I was a scuba diver and a bunch of things like that. And I was like, okay, you know, I said to my son, I'm going to get out of this car. Anyway, I didn't. I didn't get out of the car. And as I was dying, this incredible big light being showed up and told me to relax. And, you know, they were coming to help me. And I was an atheist, and I had no understanding of what was happening. So as far as I was concerned, this is what death was like, you know, something shows up and says hello. So anyway, this being came and took me out of my body, and I went up into the skies, and they kept me there while they got my body out of the lake, which took 15 minutes. So I was underwater for 15 minutes, and they told me they were going to tell me how to save my son. They told me there was two bodies, an energy body and a human body, and they explained the dynamics of the energy body and how I had to rebuild it in order for my son to come back. Well, by the time they got my son out of the lake, he had been underwater for about 30 minutes, and when they delivered him to the hospital, all his organs were filled with blood. He was dead as far as they were concerned, but they did hook him up to life support, and they told me that even if he woke up, my son would be a complete vegetable and that I really should just unplug him and let him go. Well, this being showed up again in the hospital, and they said, remember what we said. We said we were going to help you, so here's the instructions. So I had no choice. I either listened to the doctors and they unplugged him, or I turned around and I said, okay, I'm listening to big light beams. So I went ahead and listened to the light beams, and in 3 days of intensive energy work, which is a whole story in itself, my little guy wakes up and goes, hey, Mommy, you know, what's going on? So these beings, the instructions they gave me were so incredible that my son's now 11 years old, and he's a super goalie, and he's living a full life. Well, 6 months after the accident, these beings came back again, and they said basically what you did for a dying boy with a small group of people, which was an energy transfer, you can do for a dying planet with a large group of people. And once again, they gave me the instructions. And I was a mother on welfare. I had no idea how to do any of the things that they gave me, but I did. And with no budget, no money, and an email, we found ourselves to a place that probably over 25 million people in 98 countries sat down and for 1 hour to meditate and concentrate on joy and gratitude to fire energy into the earth grid. Now, like I said, I was an atheist. I had no idea what was going on. So this was like, wow. But the instructions worked again. And on July 17th, 2007, as far as I know, we held the world's largest mass meditation globally around the world. 98 countries participated, and it was all timed at GMT, meaning Greenwich Mean Time. So it was timed so that every country sat at the exact same hour. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
No, that's amazing. You know, it makes so much sense when you think about it. You know, your first test was bringing back your son, and, you know, and now the, you know, as a mother, bringing her son back, and now as a mother, you're bringing the earth back along with the help with your friends. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing when you think about it, how simple that is on one level, but then how complex it is on other levels, because you've got all of these complex organizations out there, you know, with their exclusive God and their exclusive book, and everything has to be done their way. And this is so simple. It's just everybody just get back to basics.
Everything they tell me. I mean, all of the instructions that they've ever given me is about going within and finding joy and then using gratitude, because they said that humanity is living at a very, very dense energy. And they gave me an example of a scale from 100 to 1,000. And I don't know if this scale is relative to any truth, but they said that humanity lives at a general rate of probably 200 to 300 megahertz, which is one of fear and greed and anger and hostility. And that in order to shift our minds and our consciousness to a place of changing the earth, we have to live at a much higher place of generosity and acceptance and compassion for each other. One of the big things they always say is you must find each other fascinating. Do not disintegrate in your differences, but unite in your similarities.
Mm-hmm.
So they want us to reach for our highest human potential, which they say is, you know, up in 800 to 900 megahertz. So that's what firing the earth grid is all about. And they, of course, they gave me three dates. So the first date was July 17th, 2007, of course, come and gone. The mm-hmm. second date was July 28th, 2009. That was the date that they said they would release the energy back out of the earth and go back into the heavens or into the cosmos or whatever words most make you feel comfortable. And then mm-hmm. the third date is coming. And I guess that's why I've kind of stepped out of my cave, as you called it, because I really have been in hiding. But there is a new date coming, and it's a very important date. It's November 11th, 2011 at 11:11 GMT. So once again, they're organizing us in a time that can be the same everywhere. So in India, it's 3:11 mm-hmm. in the afternoon. In Canada, throughout our provinces, you know, it's different, you know, 7:11, 5:11, whichever.
Mm-hmm.
But this date is paramount because they said that collectively we become one force, one mind, and that we sit down and we concentrate on what we choose the world to be. They said, you know, see another world, choose another world, turn from what's not working, don't argue about it, don't fight about it, just turn from it. Reach for the heavens, lift up your frequencies, and change your direction. You know, change the field.
Yeah, it's interesting because we, in our communication here with higher beings, we, you know, we won't give them a name because everybody wants to, you know, glom onto it. But, you know, they gave us the same information. They said towards the end of October, November, that there would be a huge shift, a huge wave of energy coming in. And, you know, that aligns with the Mayan calendar probably. Now, I don't know exactly when they're saying that the very beginning of this wave starts in July 17th, I guess, of this year.
Mm.
But we'll probably be right at the peak of it or whatever, you know, during this other time. But it is a very powerful wave of unity consciousness. And it's just going to, like, turn upside down people that can't unify, that want to hang on to their, you know, their me program and, you know, the selfishness and the greed and all the other things going on. So it's quite interesting how a lot of this is all lining up.
Well, the beings that have been speaking to me, and again, like you just said, they don't want me to define what they are. They said, we are the light, and it doesn't matter what kind of lamp you find us in. So it's mm-hmm. up to each individual to find peace. So if they're angels for you and light beings for another, just accept that for each other. Find each other fascinating. Ask each other about your beliefs. But don't, you know, don't disintegrate in the fact that you look at a different kind of lamp. But mm-hmm. basically what they said is that your timelines are not what you think they are, because of the fact that we've changed the way we look at time several times. The Mayans had a timeline that we no longer follow. And these beings said, you know, at some point we brought in a Gregorian calendar, and there, boom, you've changed it again. So this is a time shift, and it's a period of time. But November 11th, 2011, they told me that we will be finishing the entry into a new plasma field. And when I say finishing, meaning the field is going to close in behind us. And at that moment, the field is new and fresh, and we as humanity can charge that field. Mm-hmm. So if we choose to charge it through love and compassion and joy, we start off higher up. And they said, we have no interest except to help ease your way. They said, we've already been there. We've already been in form. We know what it's like to go through these shifts and changes. We want to assist you. We want to ease your way. Well, I mean, that's not bad advice. Especially in a time of chaos that we're living in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can all use a lot of these right now, considering what we're going through. And you know, to me, I think it's a good thing. A lot of people, you know, will say, hey, I lost my house and I lost my whatever, my job and things like that. And you know, my heart goes out to these people. Yet, you know, it's a time of new beginning. And that same manifesting God that created that reality you were in before can recreate, you know, a whole different reality from within. And, you know, maybe it's good that it's time to break out of that old system you were locked into, and it's a golden opportunity to get out of Dodge and start getting a little closer to the earth and living a more spiritual life.
Oh, definitely, definitely. The closer you get to earth, the more you connect with nature, the easier it is to look away from that which is not working and to see another way. And when you're in nature, it's the highest place to connect with Source. And actually, the Source word and the God word and all these words kind of separate us once again. So I said to them, you know, what word can I use? And they said, the brilliant infinity. And they said, you are a cell of light from the brilliant infinity. And you also can create. Therefore, go forth and create. You know, change your mind, change your life, change your world. So it's all thought.
Oh, yeah. That it all goes back to, you know, paying attention and doing some focus work on what you want, not what you don't want. And step out of the way and just let, you know, what I've been getting, if you look at the Hopi prophecies now, they talk about two worlds. And they have the one world of just the total material greed and selfishness and war and, you know, all that nonsense. In this one world starts to taper off, and it takes the downward spiral, and it just crashes, you know, into total collapse, you know, social, economic, and environmental collapse. And then the other world where people are living in harmony with each other, you know, in unity consciousness and, you know, living a very wholesome spiritual life in harmony with each other and the planet, that spiral goes up the other way and takes an upward spiral and continues. And we seem to be moving into this individually and collectively, you know, we're making choices, and the polarities are getting, you know, very strong right now.
Well, these beings have been really specific about a lot of things with me, and exactly what you're talking about is, you know, the prophecies of this guy and the prophecies of that guy, and it's causing a lot of chaos for a lot of people. And what they've said about that to me, because I have definitely struggled with this, like, oh, what about this? Oh, what about that? You know, and you get in the mind again. You're back in the mind. You're thinking everything out. And it's not about going into the mind and thinking everything out. Maybe you have to come back to a place of, we can't sustain this. Something is going to change. That's it. So, again, you don't have to get into defining what it is. Now, some people will, and some people do, and some people need that. But for somebody like me, who that adds more chaos to my mind, all I know is that if I look towards greed and materialism, I know I'm going the wrong direction, because it's, you see it on the television and you see it in the news, and it's like collapse, collapse, collapse. So they've simply said to me, instruct people of simple mind, you know, and I don't mean simple mind as in slow, I mean simply to look, to say, yeah, something definitely got to change. I want to be part of that change. How do I do it? Okay, well, that means taking care of the I. You have to take care of yourself. You have to become grounded and in your own highest frequency to contribute to a positive change, no matter whether that's a loss of money, a loss of space, a loss of like you said, maybe two different worlds, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not coming from a place of greed and fear. It's definitely coming from a place of love and compassion.
Well, I agree. That, you know, they tell me over and over again, they said, you know, you have to focus on what you want. And basically they said, you know, without fear and with loving detachment, you know, follow your heart, follow your inner guidance. And, you know, the intellect is what got us into the mess we're in right now. It's the one that divides and separates and creates all these programs. And we've been so programmed by, you know, TV and everything else that we don't even know what we want anymore. We're just, you know, a lot of us are just zombies or robots walking around, you know, trying to get that beer and that fancy car and that, you know, whatever, we haven't even sat down and just taken some quiet time and go, you know, what really makes me happy? What really brings me joy? You know, what is my unique purpose for being here? And I think we're all going to have to do that here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I so rudely interrupted you with my bahs, because we all just blindly follow the status quo. Bah, bah, bah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's time now to stop doing that and think for yourself. You ask yourself the question, does this feel right? Am I in the highest integrity? Am I being honest? They told me there's only three rules to keep you in the highest frequency on this planet. If you want to maintain your highest human frequency, the first one is do no harm. First and foremost to yourself, for until you love yourself, you can never love another. Secondly, use honesty and integrity in everything you do, all the relationships you have and the way that you interact with the earth and the skies, and honesty and integrity. The third one is find your human joy, and no matter what it is, experience it fully and then give thanks. Sit in gratitude with it. And that these simple practices will lead you in the right direction to creating the world that you choose, not the one that you're kind of left with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interesting, I used to give talks, and I used to be on the radio when I first started the Fire the Grid program, and this man says to me, well, my human joy is to rob a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if you can find to rob a bank and do no harm and do it with honesty and integrity, well, go for it. But you don't, I mean, it's only three rules, so you can't pick the one you like. You know, it's a cohesive unit in a way of living, in a way of thinking.
Yeah, you know, it's they always throw one out, you know, one. That's what I've seen what the intellect does. It can validate anything, any kind of behavior. You know, it'll go, well, you know, if I do this, if I don't do this, I'll lose my house, or I'll lose my car. Or if I do this, I'll get this fancy car. Okay, I can do this one time, or I'll get this big bonus check or whatever. Or, you know, if you're working for the war industry, you can go, well, you know, I'm really defending our country, and you'll talk yourself into it. But
yeah.
We don't have a defense department anymore. We have an offense department, and it's, you know, run by the corporations, basically. So it's pretty sad. But, you know, we keep talking ourselves out of this stuff because the ego just says, you know, it wants you to have all these things, you know, and be important and look good and have all the outer appearances and all the trappings. But, you know, at what point do we just pull this back and go, you know, this is a program. You know, I've totally played a nasty trick on myself, and I've allowed, you know, others to trick me as well. And maybe now it's time to try something else, you know, do something else.
You just totally hit the nail on the head. These beings said to me, what do you have to lose? You guys have been doing a whole bunch of other things, and it is not working for you. So what do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing they've offered us is, like I said, the three energy dates, and the biggest one is now coming up. Now, I'll tell you how new this is. I haven't spoken. I haven't promoted. I went into hiding. The website's not updated. It's just sitting there waiting for me to do
mm-hmm.
something. But I've been in my own program of fear because, you know, I was attacked. My kids have been attacked. You know, here I am bringing a message of love and joy, compassion, you know, energize your field with love and joy and compassion and then give thanks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're being attacked. It's
well,
no wonder nobody wants to come out and share their messages. Because somebody
how dare you? How dare you? How dare you be a reflection of people's lack of joy?
Exactly. So anybody listening to this radio show tonight that goes to check in with Fire the Grid,
mm-hmm.
is going to see the fire the grid pop up, and then there's one little letter saying basically, you know, it's coming, right? And it's not even signed by me. It's signed by my most beloved Bradfield, who's been holding fort, you know, holding the ground for me, waiting for me to have enough strength to go, do you know what? I can do this. And I don't care what other people think anymore, because I want to share the message. I just want you to know that this option's available. That's all they've said to me. You know, what else do you got to lose?
Or there's an old saying, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. And believe you, I think I've mastered the cow chip toss at me, you know, on how to duck and move away from these things and just agree with everybody and smile and then move on with your own program. But, you know, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. It was like, I know you're going through the same thing I went through I'm giving the same message the lamas and the other people I study with are saying. They're saying, focus on love and joy and bliss till you become it. You know, how complicated is that? And when you go into interdimensional mind and you realize you're not just this body and this personality, that you're this vast being, you know, you're truly an interdimensional being, and you've been trapped in this belief system that you are, you know, you are supposed to live in fear and guilt and unworthiness and all these other programs. You know, it's like, you know, in a way you're trying to, you know, enlighten and help people and serve people. And this planet has a long history of taking out, you know, their messiahs. And I'm not trying to say I'm a messiah or you're a messiah or anything else, but, you know, there's an old saying that messiahs die young. And, you know, it's because they are reflecting back to people their lack of joy, maybe what's not working and what they need to change, and the unknown as well. And people fear change and the unknown.
Well, it's incredible because the message is so simple. They're not telling you that there's not fair and all that stuff happening. They're just saying turn away from it. They're saying don't put your energy into thinking, because then again you're in the mind, thinking about, oh my goodness, what happens, what if, you know, that type of mindset. Mm-hmm. What they're telling you to do is just face towards every challenge that you see. Try to see a positive in it. You know, you're sitting at a restaurant, the meal's not great, but your company's great. You ignore the fact the meal wasn't great. You focus on, well, I had great company. That was so awesome. Changes the whole mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fire the Grid 3, now it's actually a funny way because they gave me 3, 2, 1. It's a countdown. This is the last one, but it's got one stone. So it's actually the first one, but the third one, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the system to use this hour, now they say that the energy is coming in and it'll be several days of fluctuating energy, but this particular hour is highly charged. The human being can not only breathe it in, they said it comes on gamma rays, they said you can actually accept it into your body, because the body is just a vehicle. I call it a biomechanical suit that is kind of stitched to the soul or the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the suit is capable of breathing this in, of taking this energy in. So it's a kind of a win-win situation. Not only are you going to just focus on joy and love and gratitude for the hour, but you're going to take in the benefit of the energy that's available when you're in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So people say to me, well, what do we have to do? I said, look, it's 1 hour of time. You can see another world. So what does that mean? You can sit down with crayons with your kid, draw the world you want, imagine it. Imagine if we had cars that ran on, you know, oxygen or water, and draw them with your kids. Or sit in contemplation, sit in meditation, but they said do not do anything that is not resonating as joy. Don't do it because of what you always did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't do it because your mother did it, your grandmother did it. Do it because it's what feels right. So in that hour, create. You can draw. You can dance. You can make love. What you're doing is concentrating on the world you want to see. Green grass, pastures, children laughing, lots of clean water, great experiences of art and music and design and beauty. I don't care how you see it, except the fact that you want to see a life of joy and completion and compassion. And then when you've seen it, sit with that thought. What does that look like? My gosh, that feels so good, right? And then you go, thank you. Thank you for these human bodies that we can experience all these great human experiences. eating, sleeping, cuddling, touching, kissing, you know, drinking a glass of water on a hot day. These are great experiences that don't exist anywhere else in the cosmos. You've won the lottery to get one of these beautiful human bodies. So just sit down and think about how great it is to use it.
Yeah, we're spirits that came here for a human experience, you know, not the other way around. I think it's interesting you're talking about the gamma ray. Now, if you use quantum physics and the electromagnetic light spectrum and look at that, gamma ray would be one of the highest levels of consciousness and energy. And when that comes in, you know, a lot of people show it as the gold ray, and it is the plane of bliss. And so we definitely would be, you know, getting, you know, this huge influx of joy and bliss, or whatever you want to call it, coming in, which, you know, when the minds talk about it too, they said that we have to initiate this. We have to be open to it and accept it. I think it's going to pass some people by just because they've chosen not to have that experience or not be open to it.
Well, you miss it, so to speak. Well, these beings gave me three little subheadings. They're really great. They like this whole graphic design stuff we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they reach the people with what they already know. So the first fire, the grid, they said, be defined. So define who you want to be in this world. Define how you want to interact. Define your own set of laws that you live by to be at your highest frequency. The second one was be present. Be present. Don't miss the ride. You're having it. That ice cream cone is like, wow, this is so great. You know, don't miss it. And the third one is become. And I said, what do you mean by become? And they said, you want to become one field. When you make your decision to choose the world you want to live in, become one unified field. So I said, well, you mean be one? And they said, well, you're all one already. You're going to choose to become one unified field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they want us to do on that day, because, I mean, just think about it, James. At least 25 million people sat in a chair, on the grass, in a field somewhere for 1 hour. 1 hour, we all sat down at the same time and thought about joy and then gave thanks? That's wild. And, you know, that was all orchestrated with no money. I didn't get a cent. As a matter of fact, I spent a lot of money. I didn't make any money. Nobody on my little team made any money. We did no advertising. These beings told me to teach the world with this, you know, show them this stuff. All I did was send out one email. I sent out one email, and the last 45 days before Fire the Grid happened, like that very first huge event, there was over 1 million people sign in and read my entire site. Sorry, I want to rephrase that. Not my site. Our site. It's a global site. You know, I happen to give the directions because I heard them, but it's ours.
Yeah.
So we collectively sat down at the same time. Now, Princeton got involved and measured the energy on that day. And if you want to go online, you can see what Princeton said about it, because they wrote some pretty interesting stuff about the energy field that day. But think about it. No money. Everything donated, everything, you know, shared, everything given for free, me doing my piece for free, the people that work with me, the music people and the artist people, all doing everything for free. And we shared it with one simple email. I sent it out to maybe 100 people saying, if your heart feels the truth in this, please share it with someone you love. That's how this started. You know, I told you, I was a mom, a single mom with two small kids on welfare. This was not a project of great money. This was a project of love. And they told me that stop looking to your governments to fix things. They said you need projects by the people for the people. You guys have to change this by directing your focus. So this is just 1 hour of a huge endeavor that we're going to start changing. We're going to start changing the way we interact with each other. And this is 1 hour to kind of catapult us into that movement, into that, yeah, we're ready, let's do this.
Yeah, it's definitely time. I've been talking about that for so long, that there has to be a huge network, a huge grassroots movement, and as you're doing, keep it simple. And, you know, before you came here, I tapped in and asked, you know, on a deep level, you know, what's this all about? And they just, like, shoved me right into it. They said, get behind it, you know, help her out. And you know, from some very high beings on high, and You know, and so basically, you know, you're doing it, you're doing the work, and I know that I got pushed into helping, and so I'm sure, who knows, millions of other people are going to, you know, take a moment, tap in, and go, you know what, this feels right, I think I want to get behind it.
Well, my heart is with anybody who's experiencing wanting to do this without kind of what I go, the proof of it, because, mm-hmm. my Lord, I have had just so many incredible, beautiful happenings, and I wrestle all the time with my own mind, like, this can't be real, oh my gosh, this, you know, like, oh my gosh, this can't be real, and you just wrestle with your logic, with your brain. The ego gets in there and goes, oh, you know, this is not real, you're going crazy. But I know, I mean, meeting you, spending time with you, sharing my experiences and realizing, man, this is the real stuff. We have got a set of beings. They're made of light. They come from the same pool of light. They want to help us. My gosh, don't spit in their eye.
Like, yeah. <laughs> Let's,
you know, like, let's work with this energy. Let's start following some of the instructions. Now,
I thought it was great talking about where we just sat down and talked about a lot of our same experiences. And then I was telling, yeah, they are there. They do exist. And that is a place. And you know, it's funny. It's even in the books, you know, so. It's not your experience I'm saying it's not a real common experience, but many, many others have had a very similar experience and have opened up to these other levels and experienced the same beings and are just not knowing what to do with themselves now.
Definitely. And we have a lot of people who are already having these experiences, but you know what? They're like me, James. They're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to stay hidden from it because I don't know if you know, but if you Google me on the internet, like, I am the cause of everything happening. You know, I brought down bridges, I started fires, the world's in collapse, it's all because of me. And I always say, well, maybe it could be worse. Maybe when we fired the grid, we actually softened the blows of all these things. Like, they were coming anyway.
What I understand is how can gratitude, love, and joy be harmful?
It baffles me. It totally baffles me. But I've been accused of everything. I mean, I didn't even know what a reptilian was. I had no idea. And people are going, well, you're some reptile alien. I was like, gee, I thought I was a Newfoundlander from Canada. You know, like,
I've heard it all too. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't believe. I mean, it's like, unfortunately my girlfriend had to see some of that stuff. And she goes, this is nuts. She goes, these are the kind of people you deal with. And she goes, I can't believe this. And I go, oh, yeah, you just got to send them love, you know. Just agree with them till they're done, you know. And, you know, and I said, I know who I am. I know who I'm working for. And it's not a problem, you know. But I said, I do feel sad that people will go into those. And I see them as, you know, they're very wounded people. And they've had some serious damage done to them, either physically or psychologically or whatever. And I've been given a lot of misinformation. And, you know, I feel, in a way, my heart goes out to them. It's like, but, you know, you get back to basics. Okay, what does this have to do with love? You know, brother, sisterly love or you know, honoring each individual as a unique expression of God. I mean, how does this fit into that? And and they just sit there and give you this blank look, you know, and go, you know,
well,
like a deer in the headlights, you know?
Well, exactly, and that's what they said, find each other fascinating. So they said the way you took your religions and you dissimilated yourself again, you know, my religion's better than your religion. They said you're headed down the same road with your new spirituality. Oh, you're doing the chakras wrong. You're doing Om wrong. It's like, don't get into that. That's disintegrating in your differences again. Find each other fascinating. And the more we do that, the more we learn this acceptance and we find ourselves moving towards where we want to be.
Yeah, I find it humorous now. I just go, oh, look, there's God experiencing itself as a nutcase, you know. But I don't get into judgment. I just have fun with it. You know, it's like there's a difference between discernment and having fun with it and judging, you know. So,
well, there's some interesting stuff you and I have been talking about, you know, about encoding. The fact that we're human beings, remember I said that we're in biomechanical suits or we're in these bodies are our vessels. And they said that this has all been aligned and that they've been assisting us for a long time in the shadows, so to speak, because they weren't allowed. There seems to be some sort of rules about when they can interfere, when they can do things. But anyway, they said that they have been encoding all sorts of stuff for us for a long time now with wake up, wake up, wake up, remember, remember, remember. And they said it's in your music, it's in your books, it's in your movies. We keep using what you already know. You know, like they're using the things that we work with every day. So one of the things they've given me is three stone symbols. And they're not on the site yet. Again, you know, like you've really got me here in the raw here because I haven't even put any of this information on the website. But they've given me three stone symbols that they said you as a group of humanity asked us to send back to you. So time is not what we think it is, that you go marching forward, right? They said this encoded message, we already established it kind of in our DNA base, that when we see these stones, there's going to be an aha moment of, wow, I don't even know why I believe this, but there's truth here. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what happened with Fire the Grid 1. The three stones on the first site, which if you go to the Fire Grid site now, you have to go looking for it. It's no longer up. But the three stones, they told me, were encoded. And they said that everybody who sees them that has the ability to wake up will start to go, I don't even know why I believe this, but I feel it in me. See, this is where you get out of thinking and you get into feeling. So they said, you're going to feel truth. So as soon as I can get these stones done, I will get them on the site. And people who want to feel this for themselves can go and check it out and see if these stones resonate for them. Because they're a powerful message to wake up, be present, and become.
You know, I look at those because I have a real affinity with Stonehenge and, you know, the ancient druid, some of the old druid stuff, because I have full memory of my past lives that were brought back to me. And you know, I remember, you know, playing around at Stonehenge and some of the other places. And if people really knew what a lot of those temples were all about, they'd freak out, you know. But you talk to all the indigenous people and you ask them, you know, who built the temples? They said, the gods, you know, this is where the gods land. And, you know, it's quite interesting. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about that too. Elohim is plural. It's always been plural. And, Michal Ledwith talks about that. He said, you know, in the true Genesis is there's missing some parts and, it's not written correctly. And he said, you know, really the way it's written is in the beginning, the Father of all fathers created the gods who created the heavens and the earth. So we have to ask ourselves, well, who were these gods and who were these beings that were landing at these great temples, you know, these great pyramids and things like that, and, you know, which all these indigenous people look at. And you start looking at the big picture, and then to tie that into to my when my father died, his last words were "beam me up," and I walked outside and I saw this brilliant light ship hovering over the house, which was pretty strange. And I got a photograph of it actually, because I went outside and I said, "Why would he say beam me up?" You know, his last words. And you know, when you tie all this together and all the ancient cave paintings and everything, it all ties into. That there are, you know, the science and everything, that there are these other dimensions, other planes, other civilizations. We're not alone in the universe. There's so many different levels to it. And you know, we need to stop looking at them. You know, we need to start realizing that, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for, and them are us.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
There are no, you know, there is no they, you know, in unity consciousness.
Oh, definitely. And when I say they, and I often have to clarify this, they go, oh, people say, oh, you're outside yourself. And I said, well, I am a divine being of light inside of this body. And I'm speaking to other divine light beings of light that don't have a body.
Yeah.
So it's like you and I on the we're having a phone conversation right now. So when I get these messages and these directions, I'm having a conversation. I mean, we could talk about the universal phone, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like, hey, Shelley, listen, we got a few things to share with you. Would you share them with the world? Now, I'm no great saint. You know, I'm no great, hell, look at me. She's floating on air. She's such a great, none of that's real. I'm a human being struggling with everything the same way everybody else is. Why did I get it? Why didn't somebody else get it? Well, to tell you the truth, I have a feeling that lots of people heard this stuff, but they didn't step forward with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I owe them a great debt of gratitude. I look at my baby's face every morning. I kiss it all over, and I say, thank you. Thank you for letting me have him here with me. You know, you have helped me, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the universal light for letting me have him here with me. I mean, he makes my heart burst with love, and my daughter also. I'm blessed. So when I'm having these conversations on the universal phone, and they're saying, well, can you, you know, just follow the instructions the same way you did in the hospital? Well, the difference in the hospital was I didn't have anything to lose in the sense that, you know, the other option was unplug my boy. But when I'm bringing a message of light and love to the world, I got a lot to lose. You got people calling you up saying somebody should shoot you, you know, somebody should blow you up, and it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't tell anybody this stuff. Maybe I should keep it to myself. But they've been insistent. They keep coming and they say, you're fine. Your children are fine. The ones you love are fine. We just want you to share it. Please follow the instructions. Well, what do you say, James? No, excuse me, I got to go to Walmart and buy something new? I mean, really?
Yeah, I just got one of those letters yesterday, actually. That's why I'm laughing.
So I really don't, you know, in the sense of offering this information to your radio audience and anybody that follows, I have nothing to gain here. There's no big dollar sign check at the end of this for me. As a matter of fact, there's more chaos than any, you know, yeehaw, look at me, I'm having that, look at what I got, right? But I do have a deep sense that this is a message of hope. This is a message of cohesiveness. Hey, listen, you guys, you can do anything. Focus your energy. Focus your minds. Walk into it. Choose a different world. See it. Create it. And I've come to the decision after spending some time talking to you, actually, going, if you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. That's no skin off my nose. But if somebody does want to hear it, I will offer it, and I will share it with you. And if you want to share it with somebody else, hey, great, because I think the more of us that feel peace and love in our hearts can do nothing but create good. I mean, what can you do with that, you know, except create good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're offering people, you know, a plate, and you're saying, oh, here's some delicious food. Do you want it? If you don't want it, that's okay. There's somebody else that would love to eat it, and end of story, you know. You don't sit and argue with them about the food and what kind of food it is and where, you know, where did it come from and everything else.
Exactly.
You know, and they want to drop you into that, and you're going, God, you know how much time and energy I could spend here when I could actually be feeding somebody else, you know.
Exactly. So that's kind of where I'm coming at it from this time, is the sense that if you don't want it, fine, but it's true, and we have this option, and it's an interesting fact. When I did the Fire the Grid, I traveled around Canada, the United States a bit. Now, I traveled for free. People gathered enough money to fly me there, and I stayed at someone's house. So this was not a big, you know, money-making profit thing. And it's kind of the same thing that I have a message now to deliver. Now, how it's going to manifest itself, James, I don't know. Except you're the very first one who's called up and said, listen, Shelley, let's share this, you know. So I'm sharing it. When I did the Fire the Grid first one around, it was really cool to see in one particular week, I was on a Baptist radio show speaking to a bunch of really, you know, Christian-based people. And in the same week, I was on one of the paranormal shows speaking to a bunch of ET guys. Now, The religious people and the ET guys don't necessarily get along, but you know what they got in similar, James? They have love in their heart, they desire for change, and they have one source, one God, I call the brilliant infinity. So as soon as you stop trying to define what's different about you, and you look at what's the same about you, guess what? There's no difference.
Yeah, the bottom line is we all came from the same source, and we all returned to the same, you know, source, and we have these incredible adventures in between, and you know, the source is just saying, as you wish, you know, as you wish, go for it, you know. You know, good or bad, I mean, we live in an action reaction world known as the plane of demonstration, where we do, you know, magnetize people and events to us according to our consciousness. And you know, but there's nobody keeping our books other than ourselves, and you know, the forgiveness is already there, so we only have to forgive ourselves. And You know, if we could all just like stop and take a deep breath and, you know, forgive ourselves and make a commitment to go forward and, you know, live a life in harmony with each other and the planet, you know, we could turn this place around very quickly.
Oh, it's funny you say that about, you know, judgment and forgiveness and stuff, because again, and back to the beginning of the Fire the Grid project, a lot of people tried to put me in some sort of place of, oh, you know, holy you, right? And I said, listen, guys, I have had a hard life. You know, I am a product of a hard life. So don't look to me for any kind of pious lifestyle. Because people said, oh, you did this and you did that. And I'm like, yeah, I did that. But you know what? If I came back and I'm worthy enough to come back and bring you this beautiful message, well, then there's hope for all of us. Like,
well,
they didn't...
the stone, you know, like the stone, if it doesn't accept the chisel, you know, you're never going to get these beautiful statues. And you know, because of your hard life, you've developed the inner strength and character to bring a message like this out.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a good sense of humor, which you reminded me of. You know, you got to really say every one of us is worthy because we are all part of this divine light. We're all cells of this divine light, and whatever human things you did on your journey to get to the place of awakening, once you're awake, you'll look back and go, wow, look at all those things I did. And then you look forward and say, wow, look at this, all the things I can do now. You know,
you know what you don't want, you know.
Right.
There's an old saying, you never know what you want until you experience a lot of little what you don't want.
Oh, totally. So people come and kind of say, well, aren't you the Shelley Yates that did this and this and this? And I'm like, yeah, I did those things. They were tough. They were challenges. I'm glad I grew through that. I'm glad I'm at this place, and I'm glad I can offer this information to you without having to stand up in robes and pretend I'm something I'm not, because I'm just a normal human being like you, and together we can, you know, change the world, but not through looking at each other like you have to be, oh, holy you, or oh, special you, or any of those things. It's like, yeah, I'm just a person.
Yeah, people will come up here looking for the infamous James, you know, and they're waiting for the big curtains, you know, to, you know, open up, you know, and come down off some staircase or something, you know, with a bowl of fruit next to me. I don't know what it is, but, you know, they get here and they find a guy shoveling manure with dirt all over his face or fixing the plumbing or whatever, or, you know, doing whatever needs to get done here, and then they start asking me, you know, well, where's James? You know, has he ever come out? You know, and it's kind of hilarious, really. And I usually go along with him. I go, nah, that guy never comes out. You know, we work our asses off out here, and we never see him. You know, and I'll play with him for a little while, you know, and then I'll go get cleaned up, and I'll come back out and hang out with him for a little while, and they just look at me laughing. You know, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, well, and there's nothing worse than somebody putting some sort of label on you that, oh, my goodness, you're so special, or, like, come on, lady, I'm not, okay? I'm struggling just like you. And when I did give speaking engagements, I used to always end them by saying, I honor and respect you so much for following the path with no proof. Lots of people haven't seen light beings or had the experience of the miracle that I've seen or any of that. So if I still question, if my ego still gets in and stirs my head, my God, imagine how hard it is for somebody who's had nothing to hold on to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like you and I both
I think
had,
about that because, you know, you and I probably just take it for granted. I know you don't, but in a way, I take it for granted because I've had all these outrageous experiences. And I just share, so everything just flows, you know, I don't have a problem with it. But then I have to step back and I go, whoa, you know, and I was told once, you know, not to water seedlings with a fire hose, that, you know, just uproot them. But, you know, sometimes I forget that people just haven't had some of these experiences. They haven't had the proof or they don't have the reference points. And, you know, the ones that are just doing it and coming from the heart, even though they haven't had those experiences, you know, to me, my hat's off to them.
Big, big time. Because like I said, here I am. Imagine I went and hid myself away in a house for at least the past year and a half. I don't interact. I don't go out. I don't engage. And of course, sitting in my own home stewing in the fact that I have this piece of information I really want to share. And I'm in fear, like, oh, Shelley, you don't want to go out and do that because, you know, you're going to get all these negatives. And, you know, it's so easy for us as humans to look at the negatives. So when Fire the Grid happened, we had thousands, and I can't even imagine how many hundreds of thousands of emails come in saying, you know, what a great experience I had, and they shared it. I mean, in emails, and it's on the site. It's a little called testimonials. And here are beautiful, beautiful emails of truth and what they experience. And I get one or two emails saying, you know, you're the boogeyman and you're doing this and we don't like you and we want you to go away. And what do I do? Like, go away. You know, I literally go away. So the people who have loved me through this have been incredibly patient while I move through my human stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know what, James? We all got our human stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And you may have a great day on Monday where you're completely spiritually aligned and compassionate, and you see the great, brilliant infinity in everything and everyone you look at. And then Tuesday, you have what I call the fall from grace, and you're miserable, mm-hmm. and you can't see anything positive. So it's
like a good friend of mine, Michal Ledwith, talks about that, and he says, so how's your life going? Everybody goes, it's really good. You know, everything is just at peace. I'm doing great. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And they look at him really weird, you know, and he goes, you're not evolving. You know, if there's no chaos and no challenges in your life, you're not evolving, you know. And I think about that, too, and I go, well, damn, I must be on a fast track to evolution because, you know, it's like, I mean, I still have that peace, but I'm definitely have those challenges, and I know you do, too. And you know, the old saying is if you're not receiving flack, you're not over the target.
There you go. So,
yeah,
so even in this message of delivering
today, I've been
sitting
on target for quite a while, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So even in the message of delivery today that I'm giving you, you know, you heard me say yesterday, I'm sitting on the fence, James, and you know, and you're like, well, will you do the show? And I'm like, okay, I will. And then as soon as I commit to do it, you immediately go, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? So, you know, I send this message out to your audience, and I open myself to divine instructions and guidance, and I say, I'll carry this light as best as I can, and I'll deliver it to people as honestly and truthful as I can, and basically, if you don't like it, listen to someone else.
You know, I think when you hear this show again later on, you're going to go, oh, my God, where did that come from?
Well, I'm really thankful for your guidance and help in allowing this light to shine and say, okay, I can step into this today. So thank you very much.
Yeah, we're just mirrors here. We've got a wonderful group here at the ranch, and they really support people in their own, you know, divinity and their own awakening process. And I love that, you know, that here. We're trying to get a really strong core group here to hold the energy.
Well, that's what I live in Nova Scotia in Canada, and it's full of a lot of people that are full of a lot of questions, and I have not necessarily been arms open wide type of thing, because a lot of people have tried to get me to speak in churches. You know, it's like, well, you need to go to a church, and I have no problem with a church because, like I said, it's the full range.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go into a church, and then you're held up to some sort of standard. And I don't want to be held up to a standard. I just want a meeting place to tell you the message. So if it happens to be a church, it's because this is a great room to talk to you. It holds everybody, and we can all get together and be warm and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, this message is across the board for every human being that's walking on the earth. We are all energy beings in these human suits. And we can focus our attention and our energy, and we can change our situation and choose the world we want. So, you know, let's do that.
Yeah, it is. Let's just get back to basics. So if people want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you? Do they just go to your website?
My website is, I don't know if I think they took down my email, like my personal email, because I kind of said, look, I'm done. But again, if people want to get hold of me, they can certainly get hold of me through the Fire the Grid website. Mm-hmm. And as long as everything moves smoothly in the next couple of weeks, I will try to reach my webmaster and try to do what we've done here tonight. And I'll try to get it on the site. I don't like the word try. I will.
Yeah.
I will do these things. get this stuff on the site and get a link to me so that we can start having conversations. If you got anything negative to say, send it to someone else, you know, because those are the ones I don't really want to see. But if you want to share something with me, you know, my heart's open and I want to hear your joy too. Mm-hmm. So I will get all these things done as soon as humanly possible.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're back on track and you're doing the Fire the Grid 3. We definitely need it right now. And I know you've got some legions of beautiful light beings behind you, you know, orchestrating this whole thing. And, you know, as they say, you know, you just have to become like a hollow bone and get out of the way and let the spirit flow through you.
Thank you. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, we're out of time, so I've got to sign off. It's just been an awesome interview, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Oh, I look forward to it. I really do. And just to remind people, it's firethegrid.com or org. And check in and, you know, have a little patience with me. As soon as I can, I'll be there.
Great.
Thanks, James.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Okay, bye.
All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.